you, everybody, for being here. My name is Melissa, and I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to work with Dr. Rao at Oregon State University and National Science Foundation with a grant that we really wanted to take science and bring it into the classrooms. And we had a really wide range of age groups that we wanted to provide them with a scientist's experience. We also wanted to focus on rural communities in Oregon because, especially in the area surrounding where our university is located, there's not a lot of science that you can bring into the classroom with just the resources that they have. So like I said, our partnership was with several different K-12 schools. I believe there are 8 in total on with varying years of agreement between them. We were supported by National Science Foundation GK-12 program, and at Oregon State, our program was the Rural Science Education Program, or the RSEP. We worked, it was set up slightly different than most of the NSF GK-12 partnerships because we worked in teams. We had a graduate student working with an undergraduate student, and each team was assigned a school that they stayed in the entire year. So here's the area of Oregon. This is the state, and we're looking at the smaller area here, and I apologize for the slight blurriness of this map, but the circles are around the cities where we implemented our program, and as you can see, there are 2 that are so small they didn't show up on the map, and the university is here in Corvallis, so anywhere from, you know, 40 minutes away to 10 minutes away. In the classroom, our job was to bring in materials and ideas that could really bring hands-on science into the classroom with things that weren't readily accessible to the teachers already in these classrooms, and maybe different ways of looking at difficult concepts that are hard for younger students to grasp, such as density in a kindergarten classroom. How do you teach density to a student that doesn't know very much about math and can't read? So this specific example, they actually designed an experiment where will it sink or will it float, where they had different materials. They had a tub of water, and putting the items into the barrels of water, if it sinks, then it's got a greater density. If it floats, it's less. So that's a pretty hard concept to break down for a kindergarten, first grade, second grade classroom. And these are just a few examples of some of the activities that they were able to bring into the classroom. And like I said, we had materials that we could offer them that we could only find at in a university setting. In some cases, there were just microscopes. I know sometimes when I was in the classrooms, I'd bring in PowerPoint slides, and they were completely amazed by the projector. Because they just, in these small schools, I had a class of 6th and 7th grade combined, and there were 12 students. So in areas, you know, like that, it's not a worthy investment for a projector in the classroom. And we were able to bring them interesting insights on things as experts, such as insects. This bottom picture here in the corner, right here, was a build-your-own insect trap. So it was actually a lot like the first talk you heard where they were designing their own pests. Well, we had them design an insect, and then we asked them to build a trap that could trap their insect. So they had specific guidelines, such as this insect is the size of a golf ball, so the entrances into the trap had to be big enough to allow it, or this insect, there was one that the insects like root beer, so they would pour root beer or put signs that said root beer here, free root beer, to attract the bugs to come into the trap. But I think the real strength of our program was in the outdoor aspects of it, because we were in rural communities. We could literally walk right outside the door and we have nature right there. So here, this picture here is Alsea Falls, which is right behind Alsea High School. And the students were able to go in there and do water quality management and look at the different insects. They did an entire lesson plan just based around this that I believe lasted quite a while in the classroom. This is a stump field project that was, there was a stump field. They'd removed all the trees and it was donated to the school, and they wanted to restore the area. So we, actually a lot of the fellows that were involved in the program, we took a Saturday, went out there and helped the students, and there were parents and teachers involved to remove the blackberries and help start restoring this stump field. There are also several projects. There's the mulch mystery down here, and they were able to talk about nutrient cycling and implement it here in gardens. And in an area that's rural, a lot of the students have gardens at home and their families are involved in agriculture, so it was applying to their daily life. One of the projects that I'm the most proud of from the year that I was there, it wasn't my school, I wish I could say it was mine, but there were 2 fellows that actually were able to get a hold of an old vending machine, and it was donated. And they were actually able to get a hold of salmon eggs and rear them in this in this old vending machine. They could control the temperature. They were able to study the biology, the life cycle, and they were able to feed the fish. They were able to look at them. And at the end, they had a big release into the river, and there was such an amazing turnout for this. The parents and the teachers all wanted to come and watch them release these salmon into the river. It was a really good project. We also had several community projects come out of this. In Alsea, there was a storm drain project. This town needed a storm drain, and the students were able to go through and collect baseline data and actually go through a process that they would really go through if they were on an engineering team or a water resources management team and see how that would work and put it all together in their own area and see how it applies. And also the Fall City Beautification Project, it was the stump field. They wanted to restore that to a native floral habitat. And so we were able to kind of point them in the right direction with that. It came at the kind of the end of the NSF program. As far as sustainability, some of the PIs that were here would probably be interested in this. Sujaya actually went out and tracked down further funding for our program. And Toshiba America Foundation, which from what I understand doesn't normally fund universities for this kind of project, they usually give their money directly to the schools. They actually were able to start a project with Sujaya, and the trap you see here in the picture is from Sujaya's own research. She uses it to trap bees, and it was originally intended to capture beetles, and when we told the students in the schools that they were actually catching bees, they immediately wanted to know why. So we were able to take this and turn it into that scientist experience in the classroom and let them kind of figure out what was maybe going on with this system. We had a lot of help from the faculty on campus. Dr. Bill Steven, who's here, came in as our bee expert and spoke in the classroom. This project was actually in four of the GK-12 schools, I forgot to mention. I was the graduate student that went to all four schools. I visited each one once a week. And Dr. Steven came with me to each of these classes, and he did lectures on bees. And he talked about physiology, answers a lot of questions about what are the differences between bees and wasps, because, of course, the students want to know all about being stung. And he also developed a bee identification guide for all of the bees that we could find in their areas, which was really useful to them. And he helped show he helped to build identification keys so that the students would be able to identify them on their own. We also had Dr. Richard Hals, who is in our botany department, who visited all of the schools as well and did the same thing with plant physiology. He also taught them a lot about the benefits of native plants and what happens when non-native plants are coming in, so the students actually got to understand what invasive plants are. And I'm talking about middle school students, sixth graders, seventh graders, that are really starting to care about what's around them. And he also developed his own plant identification guide, which was actually a lot of work for him because we'd collected the plants and didn't have all of the requisite parts in a lot of places. So he kind of had to go back through and relabel some of them and add some pictures and kind of help them work through a guide that would help them identify what they had come across. We did a lot of different activities to help solidify these concepts in their mind. This is a Build-A-Bee activity, where they got to select from a number of different materials to build their own bees. And for example, here he's showing the felt. The student selected felt to use for his pollen collecting. And then in order to test how well the different types of fabric would hold the pollen loads, we used baby powder. So they got to roll their bees around in baby powder and see how much they were holding. And there's an example of one of the collected plants that they've gotten. The substitute. They had to know that it was a yellow flower that was supposed to be on there, and they also needed the root structure in order to be able to use the plant identification guide that was developed for them. So once we had all of these concepts, the basic information that they needed, we wanted them to come up with experiments. The original idea was to test to see why the bees were coming into the traps and how it was related to the local pollen, but science kind of happens, and that didn't exactly work out. So it was a great backup plan to have them develop their own experiments with these materials. And we really focused on this inquiry cycle. We wanted them to ask their own questions, to figure out a way that they could investigate it, create their experiment, and then discuss whether it worked, where it didn't work, why, and reflect on that. And what do we need to do next? Where can this go? So this was a really important part of their process. And these are some of the experiments they came up with. They had this trap that they knew caught bees, and these are some of the questions they decided to come out and test themselves. So as you can see, they got pretty interested in bee structures and what times of day and a lot of things that scientists are asking now. They got to go on trips to Oregon State University to help them as well and meet their specialists in their own environment. This is a trip to the OSU Herbarium. They got to look at plants that were preserved the same way they'd done it in their classroom, that were 200 years old from another place in the world that they'd never seen before. So it was really important for them to be able to see that. This is tours of the greenhouses where they got to see experiments similar to theirs already set up and running, give them ideas about ways to frame their experiments and how to put them together. And a lot of, since we had so much involvement with the pollen on the bees and the native plants, they also got to take a trip to the scanning electron microscope facility. They got to see how the slides were actually made. And they got to understand what the microscope looks like, which a lot of the people on campus, I don't even think, know what the scanning electron microscope was. I'd certainly never been in there before. And they were very interested in it. They also got to attend lectures. The gentleman in this picture giving the talk is an entomologist who works with the Navy, so we wanted to really expand their idea of what entomologists can do as careers as well. So once they had all of this information and they knew what they wanted to do, they knew how to frame it, we let them take their experiments into the field. And this is some of my students hanging one of their traps. I think they were testing for catching flies in this particular one. And all of this came to, they ran their experiments, they did it when I was there for the most part. The teachers were really helpful in getting it together when I wasn't there. And in the end, we decided to hold a big student conference at Oregon State University. So one of their projects was to create invitations to post around the community, to take home to their parents, to hang up in the school. And our conference was very well attended. All three schools were there at the same time. And so they were speaking not only to their classmates, but they were speaking to their peers in the program. So they're talking to all of the students who had gathered the same information on the bees and the pollen and the flowers. And not only that, but there were OSU faculty and staff there, and there were other interested members as well. And they stood up and they gave their talks, and they did very, very well. They also presented posters. Each individual project had to create a poster as a requirement, and this particular one was comparing the structures of native and non-native pollen. They wanted to see if there were any structural similarities that were enticing the bees either way. And as you can see down here in the bottom, they actually built models of all of them and answered questions about their posters. They put these all together themselves, and those that had done presentations put those together themselves as well. And we ended up having a guest come down. The president of Toshiba America flew all the way from New York and then drove down to Corvallis to be able to be at this meeting. He got to see all of the talks, got a look at the posters. It was a really big deal for the students. They understood that this was where the funding came from and that this was a really important honor, and they were really excited. To assess and evaluate these programs, we tried to do on most of the lessons before and after. So for the Partners in Nature, the bees and pollination, this is the pre-evaluation we gave. And at the end, we gave the same test. And as you can see, the before and after scores kind of speak for themselves. And I believe there was something at 10% return on perfect scores at the end. So the students really gleaned a lot from this. Another big assessment, I know this is blurry, but I think it's a really good representation. In the beginning, you ask a student, a sixth grader, what do you think a scientist is? What does a scientist do? And this is kind of what they have in their mind. They're not really sure. It's kind of fuzzy. Some crazy scientist in a laboratory experiment blowing things up. And in the end, you ask them the same question, or a better example, we did the draw scientist activity, and a lot of the students are drawing pictures of themselves, and they're drawing pictures of people outside, drawing pictures of people catching bugs, and they're drawing what we know a scientist can be, so they'd be able to see themselves in that role. Benefits to Oregon State University. The students collected a lot of bees, and they all were added to the museum collections, 35 native species and 17 genera. Graduate students, we all receive professional development, confidence, time management skills especially, organization and scientific communication skills, and speaking for myself and for many of the other graduate students that participated in this that I know of, there's nothing that can replace this experience as a graduate student. And the youth that we got to interact with, they're exposed early on opportunities. University isn't some big, scary, faraway thing. It's something that you can go and do, and people that you can relate to that are interested in the same things you are and see science the same way you do as well. So especially thanking National Science Foundation and Toshiba America for funding us, and especially Dr. Sujaya Rao for being the PI on these projects. projects and getting the graduate students into the classrooms. Dr. Bill Steve and Richard Halls for doing their part in the pollination, STEM facilities as well, all of the student fellows, and the participating faculty and staff. Yes?
My question is, the trips that they took to the university, did they do those the same day or spread it across several trips?
They actually, we had more than one. The last year of the NSF grant, I know my partner and I brought our class once. But during the Toshiba America, they came twice that year. So there were different activities each time. They got to visit more than just the entomology and plant labs. They got to visit the tsunami lab at Oregon State, which is kind of a big deal. I believe some of the students in the NSF program got to go to the nuclear reactor labs. There was a really wide range, anyone we could get involved with. And the faculty was actually, they wanted to be included. So they were asking, well, you can come and do this, and I have a lesson you can use in your classroom, and I'll give you seashells to show you how to make keys. And they were pretty interested in having these students come into their classrooms. Was it difficult to arrange the trips? In some cases, yes. But all in all, the GK-12 schools that were involved, they were really excited to have this program in their school. So they went out of their way in a lot of cases to find substitutes, to arrange the buses, and they really worked with us to get these done. They realized how important it was for their students. So we were lucky there. Thank you. Some of the challenges with the conference would be getting all the schools together at a time that was available for everybody. It was hard to get even just planning the month and planning the week and then trying to fit it in with when the students would be finished with their research. It was definitely a challenge just finding the time. Travel wasn't as much of an issue, but again, they were willing to come out and do that. So was there a timeline structuring the lead up to the conference? There definitely was. I was the only graduate student working in these four schools, so everything had a very specific date and time that things needed to be done on. And I was really glad to have the four teachers that were working with me. They were really involved in this, and they, like I said, they realized how important it was. So they were really good about sticking to the schedules we'd set up in advance. This has to be done by these dates so that we can get the students here and we have everything done. And I was there for the poster building and for the presentation preparations as well. So it was very structured time-wise. This? I agree completely. I think this is a good example of their interest. Another good example, Dr. Steven at the final conference also brought his own material and gave an introductory to the general audience about bees. And he put up a movie of bumblebees just toiling around in some loose pollen. And I thought, you know, this is good for a few seconds. The kids will like it. But I was so worried they'd lose interest and start getting rowdy. But all of the kids, since they had that background information and they knew about the system and they knew what was going on in that movie, they sat there and watched. I think it was 2.5 minutes long. They just sat there and watched the bumblebees toiling around in loose pollen. And they were completely silent. So it depends on how you make it important to them, whether or not it is important to them. Yes? Yes.
Every week, I wonder, do you have just one class per school or multiple classes per school?
No. Let me think. I think one of the schools I had two classes, so I was there twice a week. I had two classes in another school, but they were both on the same day, and then one in the other two classes, in the other two schools. Yes.
Being in a rural environment,
The question is, being in a rural community, do I think the students were already more aware of what was going on in nature? I think probably there's yes and no. I think they're aware that there are things going on, like they're aware their parents have a compost pile, but they have no idea what's going on in there. So kind of both. I'm out of time. Thank you.